You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hey, listen.
Quote Solanum from the end of this game. This song is new to me, but I am honored to be a part. I bet you didn't know he sounded like that.
This is
the Outer Wilds episode of One Upsmanship. I'm one of your upsmanships, Mr. Michael Swaim.
And I'm the man of the upsmanship duo.
Oh,
you like that? Adam Ganser.
If I were to lay claim to a part of the word, I think I'd probably pick the ship, because then I could fly the fuck out of there.
That's right. That's right.
We talk about video games and
sure
whether
do.
Or not they ultimately have contributed meaningfully to the medium of video games, which we both dearly love, and
very
advanced
so.
That medium. And then we decide whether we'd slap it on a hard drive of games meant to impress some theoretical divine being or alien creature that we call the celestial hard drive. How are you doing, Adam?
I'm doing great. and if I've ever thought more about who that being might be, than when I was playing this game, I'd be surprised.
Ooh, it applies right? a little more directly in this
case. It really
case.
Does.
I
yeah.
also thought literally about the rubric we use and like,
yes.
well, okay, so are these
yes.
aliens? Because aliens would respond specifically to this game.
Yes.
If you're not familiar with the game, you will be soon, because we're about to pass our first checkpoint, which in this case means we died horribly in the vacuum
sure
of
did.
Space. And we got to see our whole life flash before our three eyes before we wake up again.
Well, we have four eyes, don't we?
Night before the launch. Four eyes. You're
yeah,
right. Sorry,
I believe
the
so.
Gnome,
no,
I have
okay.
three. Thank you
Correct.
For keeping me honest. And that takes us to our first segment. People who are just tuning
yes,
in are
which
like,
just tell
what
me like
was
I'm 8-bit.
It? What? Checkpoint what? The point is we're in a segment
video
called
games.
Tell Me Like I'm 8-Bit. All right, let's go back to basics. Games on video. No, we're going to explain the game Outer Wilds to someone who may not be familiar with it at all.
Great.
Adam, I asked us to cover this, so can you...
Or,
I sort of brought you into
yeah.
the experience. So what were your thoughts on Outer Wilds? In a nutshell, tell me like I'm 8-bit.
Yeah, so I'm going to save some of my personal thoughts and try to give a more general summary of what the game is. So Outer Wilds was made in 2019 by a company called Mobius Digital. I believe it's one of their first projects, and that is exciting on its own. It's an action-adventure game where you play a first-time, I'm going to put that in quotes, first-time astronaut who is going out to explore the mystery of your solar system and, in theory, try to piece together some of what happened to an ancient precursor race that you're aware of but don't know that much about. And the game is mostly space exploration, which then becomes sort of a lot of puzzle solving. Like, you know, it's a three-dimensional perspective. And then also sort of a narrative about what's happening in this universe, because there is a time loop aspect to it, where every 22 minutes the universe resets and you start over in the same spot because of a very specific thing that happens every 22 minutes that I want to talk about in a minute. From sort of pursuing endlessly these different threads of on different planets and stuff in the system, you start to piece together what is happening, like what is going on in this universe. Why is there a 22-minute cycle that's going on? Why are you the only one that seems to be aware of the fact that everybody's dying and then being sort of reset? And also, what happened to the precursor race, and what's the nature of the solar system, and so on, all in the service of discovering the mythical eye of the universe, which is where this game concludes, the answer to what is the eye of the universe. It's mostly sort of exploration and puzzle solving. There's a lot of traversal, but it's not as much a traversal challenge game as it is a puzzle game, I would say.
And a little clockwork physics engine.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. And it's mostly crashing your ship fatally.
Yes, we're going to talk about that too. So, and I want to say, before we get too deep in the woods about what is this game, we're going to spoil things in this episode. Like, we're going to talk about puzzle solutions, and we're going to talk about what the story is and means. And if you have any interest in keeping that to yourself, for yourself to experience, which I recommend, if you really want to play this game, you should play it before you hear our thoughts on that. You should know that now so that you're not disappointed later in the episode when we spoil things. I'm going to try not to spoil everything, right, Mike? I think we're going to try to be somewhat respectful of that.
Oh, I don't know about that. I feel like we show due respect. I feel like we show due respect by saying up front, we are going to spoil this.
Fair enough.
And I'll just say, I do think it behooves us, because a lot of new folks are joining us since we switched over to iHeart. Hi,
right.
You. Very
Hi
wise
there.
Choice.
Welcome.
Welcome. But this is a spoiler cast. We talk about the games after we've digested them. We don't feel that there's a point in not spoiling the games, because what we're after is a thorough discussion with nothing off limits about the nature of the thing.
Correct.
So we try to turn it inside out. That, of course, means spoilers. We'll try and mention that more frequently going forward, because I know some new folks have been like, you didn't tell me you're going to in-depth spoil every aspect of the... We might. That's our prerogative.
We might not. Yeah.
And we'll especially mention it in a case like this, where the game is a giant puzzle and the solution is the punchline to the narrative experience.
Correct.
So if you're at all interested in playing it, this will spoil the need, like the Christmas present of it. We're going to open the box. So here we go.
I think it's safe to say, without giving you any of my direct opinions about it, this is worth playing. And I
Most
think Mike
people
will
agree.
Say that
it was
too.
On a lot of Game of the Year lists of a lot of notable publications.
It's worth playing.
Love
it's a very
it. Yeah.
unique experience. I can't say I've played another game that is exactly like it at all. It's very unique in that regard. So that's, I think, a good summary. Would you add anything to that summary?
No, I was going to add the thing about spoilers, so I'm glad you brought it up. And obviously, it's 22 minutes to make room for commercials, Adam. It's an even 30 with ads.
I don't even know why I'm playing coy about that.
Exactly.
You're absolutely
distributed
right.
by Annapurna is all I would add, only because that's become, for a lot of us, a pretty significant seal of approval. It carries some weight. Annapurna is not fucking up too frequently in the games they choose to release and distribute. Like, 12 minutes, I thought, sucked, but... For the most part. And they take big swings on interesting concepts, which including 12 minutes.
Yes. This game released this year for the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X, which is to say there's a 60 frame per second update that is becoming available in like a month or whenever this comes out, sometime around that time. We did not play that version, and I am bummed that it's coming out now, because I was like, fuck, I would have rather...
Nor did I play the
version.
DLC Echoes of the Eye.
No, I didn't
this
either.
Is about the game Outer Wilds, which I think is fair of us. I think that's more than fair.
I agree.
Let's pass another checkpoint, which means we had to use our oxygen as fuel and then suffocate alone again.
Too many times.
Yeah, as we always are, alone in space.
That's right.
And that brings us to our next segment, which is the Gamer Rants portion of the show.
Mm-hmm.
We usually try to loosely alternate, and since we have no guests this time, it's a simple process. It's
simple
a simple
swap.
Switcheroo.
Yeah.
So I'll be player one. Player one, plug it in with my rant. Very, very interesting. Wow. What an emotional roller coaster. Because,
yeah,
as happens often with this show, I mentioned it because I think it's actually key to my point of view on this, is I brought Ganser to this. And like, if we cover Stanley Parable, I think it's fair to say I brought you to that.
Absolutely.
Right? Or,
yeah, 100%.
And I pull you over to these things always after I've put in a few hours and am like, have great confidence in the concept and the team, and think, okay, they have something to say. This is going to be great. I got to get Adam to play this so we can talk about it on the show. And then this has happened several times where I then you go, yeah, and we cover it, which means I have to play through it in its entirety.
Mm.
And I go, too long. And I actually do think that about Outer Wilds, too long and too floaty, which is, I know, like blasphemous in some ways. And that's why I'm putting it in the rants, because it's a spicy portion of my take. The rest of what you're going to hear from me, and I'll save that for the end when it's cromulent, but the rest of what you're going to hear from me is what you've probably heard from other publications if you've read a lot about Outer Wilds. I hope that between the two of us, we can resonate some unique insights and make the show worth its weight. But, like, very good, unique, like nothing I've ever played before, gives me a lonely but bracing exploratory feeling that I get from other very monumental games like Breath of the Wild. This kind of lonely exploration is a thing. Myst also makes me feel this way. Very rare in gaming, hard to achieve, few even try. Tunic had a little bit of the vibe, or at least
Elden
was
Ring.
Trying to get there. I think Elden Ring's too silly and friendly for that.
Okay.
Lonely. But that's literally just because, like, I see sheep doing cartwheels, and I kick glowing skulls around, and I'm like, you guys are silly. That's what I get from Elden Ring. In a good way.
Yeah.
But I mean and it's funny because this game's very seussical. It's not silly, and they make straight up jokes throughout it. But you know what I mean? I mean, I know Adam knows what I mean about the lonely, solitary explorer feeling that certain games give you. And this definitely gives you that. It compares very readily to Deathloop because it's a puzzle experience limited by your or the pace is defined by whenever you solve the puzzle, you solve the puzzle. How long does the game take to beat? Well, five and miss, this is true too. 5 minutes if you know what to do, but you have to figure out what to do or cheat, and cheating ruins it because the whole thing is figuring it out. It's literally the joy of discovery itself, and that's hard to pull off. They do it super well. I still don't like how floaty and hard to control it was, and how the traversal challenges felt unfair, and how long it took me to get to the end of the game. And what's funny about a puzzle game is you can go, well, then I guess you're just dumb, bro. You know what I mean? Like, it was a puzzle. If you figured it out faster, maybe it wouldn't have been frustratingly long. And I'm like, yeah, you know, fair enough. I bailed on The Witness because it just got too damn hard. And I'm smart in some areas, dumb in other areas. For whatever reason, Outer Wilds feels like a third too long to me, and that's the only knock against it. And the physics are a little floaty for me, and yet I can stand on the aisle and respect that other people might have liked the feel. For example, as I usually do, I watched a speed run of this too, so I could make additional notes from like that vantage while just watching someone race through. And of course, there are people, right, who can jetpack like a freaking Rocket League master, you know, flying through the air so fancy free, stopping on a dime. I am not that. I'm skilled at video games, and I still was like, woof. I got to go back to the Hanging City in Brittle Hollow. Get ready to fall into that goddamn black hole, white hole, loop warp 30 times. I hope I can land on a platform before the fucking loop resets. So I got stuck in a lot of situations like that. I never felt lost as to what I was doing. I just often felt like literally, I spent many hours falling into this one black hole at the core of Brittle Hollow. Like, there were just very specific points in the game where I'm like, woof, if I could just fast forward this part, I would. Because it's not a puzzle. It's like walking from here to there is physically very difficult. And I'm repeating myself, so I guess I'll wrap up. But I just want to underscore, especially because there's this one person on Twitter who gets really angsty when I talk shit on Outer Wilds specifically. Hi, Balls Inferno. That I love it. I think it's great. I think it's phenomenal. I just have these small complaints about it.
No, yeah.
Deathloop was shorter. That's objectively true. Adam, your turn.
All right. I don't want to be beholden to anybody's Balls. Opinion on Twitter. I'm sorry. No, sure. I don't accept that. But player two, Adam Ganser, plugging in. Actually, funny enough, I think we line up pretty closely on this one, too. I was very afraid for the first hour of this game because of how unwieldy the controls are. They're very unwieldy. They're hard to get used to. They give you some options to mitigate it, especially when you're in the ship. They give you like an autopilot that makes not crashing on planets a lot easier and stuff. But I'll say, and I think it's fair to say, that it never gets really comfy. Like, you never get to a point where you're super comfy with these controls. And I'm sure people do, but I didn't. And I think I would diagnose that as being these controls are a little too beholden to trying to be realistic space physics and not game enough. Like, they're not gamified enough to be masterable at the level I want to be able to master them. And that was frustrating. And, you know, every game has to make a choice how realistic versus how gamified it's going to be. For me, could have gone a little further in the gamified. That's basically all I really need to say about the movement stuff, but it was a constant frustration throughout. It remained frustrating. I kept having deaths that were like, come on, you know, even till the very end. I did think it was too long, and part of what made it stretch out for me was that there were a lot of unintuitive or counterintuitive puzzle solutions. Like, for instance, there's one area of Brittle Hollow you can't access unless you realize, oh, the ceiling's actually falling into the black hole. I bet that one part of the puzzle that's inaccessible is accessible if you fall through the black hole and go through the alternate universe in there and like go up into that little area. Then I bet you could get that one little text message, and that ended up being true. And by the way, I didn't figure that out. I found out by accident. So because of that, I didn't see every single space. Like, I didn't see the sun station. I didn't get, and I, cause getting there was kind of like, it just, the solution was counterintuitive for me. And I didn't get all the information on the comet because, again, that was a counterintuitive.
The interloper.
Yeah, the interloper. Yeah. The figuring that puzzle out was also counterintuitive. You know, like, not because it wasn't – like, if somebody explains it to you in hindsight, like, oh, yeah, that does make sense. But getting to those solutions just requires a lot of intellectualizing of various data points that are scattered everywhere and
for
making
me, it's
connections.
Sorry, it's your
okay.
Rant.
No, no, yeah. But we're going to talk about this, and I'm glad you want to, because I think that's one of the key ingredients.
Yeah,
to this.
I'm just getting excited.
Yeah, so like that, it's a question of like, what are the things the player will intuit and therefore make these logical leaps, and what things won't they figure out? And I think this game occasionally strays into, nobody's going to figure that out. You know, like that's just too far to be enjoyable for me, but I'm not a missed guy either. So there was, you know, there's a few puzzles that I ended up basically like tried for an hour, couldn't figure it out. I was like, you know what, man, I don't want to spend 5 hours figuring this out. So I looked it up. I did that like two or three times. But on the other side of it, this game has two or three moments that are absolutely perfect and exquisite. One of them is the first time you realize, oh my God, the solar system is dying. That's what's happening at the end of the 22 minutes. There is a perfect piece of music that starts to let you know this is the end. And the first time it happened, I was like, oh, there's like a little score. That's kind of cool. And I liked the music. And then, you know, there was a wipe. And I was like, what
the
fuck?
Didn't know what it signified.
Yeah, what does that mean? And so, okay, it started over. Why did that happen? I don't know. My chat was sniggering to themselves. You know, they're having the best time. Right. And because they knew. They're like, oh, you'll find out. I was like, okay, great. So then I happened to be outside, like on the surface of a planet the next time, and turned and saw the sun explode with this music going on. And oh my God, it is such an amazing moment in a video game. And I really hope those of you who are listening now have already had it, so you know exactly what it's like.
I was free floating in space and it was epic.
It's such a, not only is it epic visually, which it is, it's really well done.
No, it's emotional. It's
very
moving.
Emotional. It's very moving. And then there's a second beat of it that happens at the end of the game that's even more palpable, which is when you realize this is not just the death of your own solar system. This is the death of the universe that you're a part of.
It's the heat death of the universe.
This is it. Like, this is when it all goes down. And you watch it and you're like, oh my God, I can't. And it makes you think, like, you can't not think. You have to think about, like, that moment's coming. You know what I mean? Like that, we're all going to see, like, not see it per se, but like, that's going to happen to everything that you've known and everything you've believed in and loved. That's coming to this moment. And I thought this game so perfectly captured that in a very gentle, thoughtful, not nihilistic, hopeful way that I super loved. Now, I saw some people got really frustrated with the way they chose to resolve that narrative by lapsing into spiritualisms. So that was a thing I saw, you know, people saying. And I'll say,
The idea that there will just be a new universe
I'll say, yes, there's a reason why that happened, because we need that to happen. Like, we need it. Like, human beings need that to be part of the story. That doesn't make it true that it's happening, but we need it. And therefore, I think that's why they did that.
I don't know that it's not true.
Oh, though. I don't know that it's not true either. In fact, I believe it is true, but I'm just saying that's not a proof. That's what I'm getting at. It's not a proof.
Sure.
But it is a need. And I think that the fact that this game chose to acknowledge that need was right. It was the right thing to do narratively. I did not like the ending, though. And we'll talk about that later. I didn't like the ending. I liked the meaning more than the ending. So I think that's enough to say that's my rant.
All right. Then it's brickety break time. But we'll be right back. When I think of another way to express how to pass a checkpoint that's not dying.
I can't wiggity wait for that.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver. And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Oh no, we're getting sucked into the statue's eyes. That's
every
right.
Time.
It's not dying. It's just the thing that necessarily happens right. after you die.
Correct.
Which means we passed another checkpoint. One upsmanship. We are back. Adam Gans and Mikey S. Talking about Outer Wilds. And yeah, I just want to start with a plug real quick. Sorry. But
oh, here you go.
Over on the Small Beans podcast feed, where we run a bunch of other podcasts, if you dig around in the archive, there's a very special episode on the Small Beans feed called, shoot, I have to plug both because I can't remember which, but I've released two audio short story collections. One's called Sad and Important, one's called No Side. And I believe it's Sad and Important has a story called The End, which is about the heat death of the universe. And so that has a lot of my thoughts about the heat death of the universe.
That's
and
cool.
I just want to bring that up because when I realized this was going to be about that, it tickled me so much because there's not actually a lot of fiction about that.
No, there isn't.
It's
yes.
usually about the heat death of our sun.
Right.
But to me, the idea of entropy, if indeed that is inevitably the future, here's my other thought. And I love that Outer Wilds makes us immediately dive into shit like this. This is Game On, by the way. Is that I fully respect people who scream at me. There are experts, and even if you don't understand quantum physics, they do. And blah, 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 blah. We can prove this is what will happen. It will be the, you know, like the more popular scientific consensus right now
is
that entropy will win and that eventually all the stars will die out. And I still think it's not, I think there's some humility in saying, sure, but there are tectonic shifts in understanding, even among the most elite, educated, intelligent people on the order of, this revolves around that. No, sir, this revolves around that.
The other thing, you know right, right, right.
Yeah.
Right, right.
And I don't think we're nearly advanced enough to close the book on, yep, that's how the universe is going to end. No, there's nothing after it. Like, I don't think we know either way, definitively.
I think that's still beyond human understanding. I think if we did know definitively, this game would not have been appealing.
Right.
I think this game appeals on the level of your curiosity.
Mystery.
Right?
A true mystery.
Yeah, yeah, it is. I mean, that's really what the driving force of all of it is. Is mm-hmm. like this, like, find out what's in the universe. What does it mean? Who came before you? Where are we going? Like, it's really a way of gently exploring these metaphorical concepts without being too preachy about it. Like, I actually really like the tone of the game, which is largely like a little bit lighthearted and a little bit sad. It's like a little mix of the two.
Yeah, it really feels Seussian to me.
It
felt like,
I agree.
And it felt like, so Cyan, the company that made Myst, actually started by making a bunch of children's games that are basically just fancy HyperCard stacks, but include activities more than puzzles and a feeling of lonely exploration. So people who are interested, who like find this game enjoyable, if you're really interested in more stuff like this, I recommend checking out old bangers like Cosmic Osmo and The Manhole, both of which are available on Steam for like 99 cents. And I just find it so unique to get a game that does give me this feeling.
I love the idea of that, and that they chose to race in this direction. And I just want to add to what you said earlier about nobody knows about the end of the universe. I mean, everyone, I think, knows that I have a more of a faith-driven background. So, of course, I have my own concepts of how that would go. But I think it's undeniable that we need there to be more than that. Like, we need there to be, like, human beings need it. You know, in a
Man.
Purpose, you
yeah.
know, in a purpose emotional way.
Purpose driven. Yeah.
It's just so hard to, like, I think it was Nietzsche, and I can't say for sure. I should have looked this quote up, but I believe it was Nietzsche that said even hell would be preferable to annihilation. You know what I mean? And I think that
because you have your identity at least.
Yes,
you have your
Forgive me if that's not the right person, but I believe he did, and I think that this game is also a great data point on that spectrum of, like, how do you deal with, if you're going to deal with something so lofty and final and terrifying as that, and they do, what's the solution to it? And they fall far short of offering anything that you could call religious or whatever, but it's definitely like a, it definitely lapses into spiritualisms, right? Wouldn't you agree with that?
Well, that's what I'm saying is interesting about the, my understanding of the current high level scientific consensus is no, it's not cyclical. It will die.
Right.
And
yes,
then there will just be nothing. And, I'm like, why isn't it cyclical? Then why the big? Then why bother having anything ever? Why wasn't it nothing always?
That's the question,
is like
buddy.
The unanswerable question, dude.
You just got to it,
exactly.
You know? But that's great. That's what's so great. This game is making us ask that.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah.
We deserve to be forced to ask that question.
Yeah, right.
We do.
I will say. I'm sorry, I'm like a human plug machine, but then have thoughts about this game. But have you played on, I played it on Xbox. I think it's on Xbox platforms, but it's probably everywhere. I don't know. Sorry, look it up. Call of the Sea?
I think I downloaded it, but I never played it. It's like a little game, right?
It's a little game which kind of captures some of these feelings. It's not as ambitious or unique, and yet it's more of a Cthulhu story.
Yes, that's right.
It doesn't capture the vibe to the same degree and is certainly not as unique. But it's the more gamified. The reason I really enjoy Call of the Sea when I looked back at it after having played Outer Wilds freshly was like, man, I missed how in Call of the Sea, it was like as soon as you understood the puzzle, it was solved because there was no impediment to resolving the puzzle.
Yep. That's true.
You knew what to do. You're like, oh, I know what to do. You walk straight over to the thing, grabbed the thing, put it over there, moved it over there, pressed B, it did it. And you were like, I was right. Whereas in Outer Wilds, you'd be like, damn it, I know the solution. And based on the clues, I'm sure I'm right. But then it's 4 hours to implement the solution.
It takes a while, yes.
Yeah.
Especially when you get to the moons that rotate each other, because there's a lot of the Ash and Ember twin planets. Those two have like interworking
getting there at
puzzles.
Certain times, right.
Yeah. And you gotta wait, and like sometimes there's, and again, the physics sometimes
again,
get in the way.
Endlessly,
you know?
the things that are impediments at the same time are endlessly inventive triumphs of diegetic storytelling. Like
totally.
The fact that on the Ash Twin, or Ember Twin rather, one of the Outer Wilds dudes, if you encounter him early in the loop, doesn't know what's going on, but if you encounter him late in the loop, is like, oh my god, the universe is ending, what do I do, oh my god, he's like freaking out.
Yep.
But I'll tell you the one that got me and is Dark Bramble itself, and I guess as it should be because it's one of the final puzzles, it's on the way to the ending.
You have to go there more times than you should have to, by the way.
Mapping,
I feel like that should be twice.
I will
maybe.
Never fully comprehend like the map of what nodes in Dark Bramble lead where. I just threw my scout, went slow, and did like trial and error. Yeah, after I was done, I looked up online and they're like, there are 8 nodes and they're connected in this fashion.
Okay.
And you can map it in your mind and it's just wild. I blundered my way through Dark Bramble trial and error style until I got what I needed out of it. Once you realize going slow is how to avoid the anglerfish, you just wander around. Stuff like that. And yet, everything I'm mentioning also highlights, dude, they invented a puzzle based on multi-dimensional nodes with giant space anglerfish. Like, it's not... Everything is amazing. Everything's incredible. It's just difficult to access. And that's why I don't even know if I'd necessarily... Because the question you ask yourself when you're critical of something, right, is would I change it? Can I improve it? Can I think of how I could fix it? I would say no in this case, in the sense that the underlying fact that it is a real physics clockwork universe also gives you all the most amazing aspects of it. Like that feeling of the shadows sweeping across the alien horizon, the Little Prince feeling or the Mario Galaxy feeling of visiting all these little worldlets and knowing that the computer engine you're in is running everything all at once, or I don't even know if that's how it works. It probably sections it out, but you know what I mean? That feeling that you're in a clockwork thing. And there are games that that have to use real physics like Kerbal Space Program or what have you. So I get why it's funny that our criticism is basically, well, this is so realistic that it's like bumbling around in my stupid meat body. Like, I don't want it this realistic.
But that is a challenge that every game has. Like, every game has to decide.
It's huge. Yeah.
Well, and they have to decide how to make it fun by reducing the amount of reality you have to deal with.
It's striking to me that 80%, 80% of developers, and then I'll let you talk for a while. Sorry, I'm totally
it's
hogging.
Okay.
But
no problem.
80% of developers end up deciding you should be able to jump the height of your head, which is not realistic, and we all accept it.
Yeah, yeah. We
Interesting.
Do.
Yeah.
You're right. And like, I honestly would say, like, on a spreadsheet, these guys made a lot of the right decisions. You know what I mean? Like, and even like conceptually, like that's really what I mean. Conceptually, they made a lot of the right decisions, but it didn't always come together in a way that meant fun. You know what I mean? And like, that's, you've heard that critique from me on a couple of different games. I have it on this one too, where it's like, it wasn't always fun. It was always very interesting, and man, when it delivers conceptual realizations, it delivers like home runs, like home run derby home runs, like, whoa. You know, there's so many really cool ones. Another aspect to it that I think we haven't talked about at all is the wonder of just sort of discovering stuff in the universe, period. Like, just sort of like flying in space is fucking awesome. You know how it's sort of like humdrum in a lot of games? It's not humdrum in this game. It's like, wow, every time you take off, it's really striking to approach these planets and then try to land on them, and that's difficult. And like, for instance, there's the one planet that's basically the Jupiter planet, which is Giant's Deep.
Yeah, Giant's Deep.
That planet is utterly terrifying.
Like, picturesque to land on, or like cinematic to encounter. Yeah.
Yes. And it's you can't believe it the first time you get there. And there's so many little moments like that in this tiny little game where there's only six planets.
Were you ever hanging out with Gabbro at a time when a twister came and his entire island is lifted into space?
Yes.
And he like meditates and zens out for a second and then falls back to Earth.
It's so
cool.
Good. There's so many little things like that. Now, I will say, and this is like sort of leaning into the critique I have of the ending, I never cared about the people you met out there. Like the others of your species that were stranded on various planets, they never meant anything to me emotionally. I cared a lot more about the Nomai. Way more about them.
The
right?
characterization, speaking of Little Prince, it was very Little Prince-esque. It's like almost a fable. Each person was winsome, but there's nothing to them. They're just like a winsome sentiment, and that's the whole character.
They're basically a Final Fantasy NPC. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's
they have a couple dozen things to say. Yeah.
That's the amount of connection you get to them. So it was weird that the game felt so beholden to them in its very long ending sequence.
Okay.
Right?
There did not need to be... Once you enter God's Eye, there did not need to be more puzzles to solve to get to the end. You should have gotten the end to unspool right then. That should absolutely be it. You're splitting the emotional impact of your thing.
It was a huge mistake because the journey, when you finally figure out what you have to do to shut down
and you fucking
this process,
do it.
And you do it, it's number one, it's harrowing. Number two, you're realizing, oh my God, I'm killing the universe today.
And
I'm
you're realizing, it. I mean, I felt, and I wonder if you did, you're realizing that, oh, I've really figured out this this device. Because in order to do the run in time, you also have to understand how the warping system works.
Yes, you do.
So you have this very satisfying feeling of, oh, I know the ropes. I get this place now.
I've mastered the
universe
here.
Now I must kill it.
Yeah, that's right.
I must kill it.
So you're going through all that. You're flying all the way back to the first ship that landed here and like booting up the, you know, the engine drive and then watching the universe die from the fucking place you warped to. It's like, that's it, man. You did it. You fucking did it. That's where I got I got so sad.
And the realization
that there was more. I just felt like, no, there doesn't need to be more. You did.
There was more. Me too.
Yeah. Anyway, please continue.
Yeah. But also, no, I was just going to say there's staggering realizations. Like one, when you understand what the orbital probe cannon is.
Yes, that's
and
right.
And you realize that every loop, when you wake up, the first thing you see when you open your eyes is the domino that fell that led to the end of the universe.
Yes.
Because you can see the orbital probe cannon firing in the sky in Timberhearth when you wake up. And then the fact that, the one that got me the most, I think, was the way that they weave... And that might be why they simplified the Hearthians, because Outer Wilds Ventures characters did feel very 2D. And I think it's quite a challenge that it's easy to underestimate the challenge of weaving together story arcs simultaneously in a non-linear fashion, because you can encounter the story chunks in different orders in this game. It is not like finding text logs in a row.
That's right.
They're scattered. And you're weaving a story that happened 1,000 years ago and what's happening in the present timeline. That's so, so difficult. And they do it so well. And I wonder if the Hearthian characters were more complex, if you'd start getting them jumbled up with the Nomai. But well, I don't know. You're doing multiple generations of the Nomai.
Yes, you are. I still found, and see, I know that some people, the people who really love this game, which is the people we're going to hear from about this probably, are not going to share this sentiment. And I get that, guys. I get that those of you who really loved it didn't have this trouble. But I'm trying to represent myself, and then I think a bunch of other people who aren't going to be as enamored with it. I think that the game required you to remember too many things. Like, it required you to have to juggle a lot of pieces of information in a lot of different places to put some of these puzzles together, and didn't give you the best tools to work back through them. Like, for instance, you do have that hub, right, in your ship where you can, like, go and trace, like, okay, so this needed to happen and that needed to happen. And, we know these five facts.
Many other games could use the rumor web. The rumor web is – well, I was just saying the rumor web is another completely unique. I've never seen anything of its like exactly before in a game. And I'm like – how did this not get invented earlier for puzzle games? This is such a satisfying... Filling in the rumor web makes me feel like goddamn Sherlock Holmes. It's so satisfying.
It's funny that you say that, because I thought it wasn't enough to keep things straight.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't think it was enough. I liked it. Don't get me wrong. I like what it is, but I thought the game had more... The game gave you slightly more information than that thing could keep track of. And the game required you to keep track of it without the thing. To a degree.
We've dived deep enough to find where we separate out then. Because I would disagree with the statement you also said about, like, I do like Myst. So people listening, that's, like, you know, now you're starting to see the... And I take notes when I play puzzle games with a pen and paper.
I don't want to do that.
That's fun to me.
Yeah. I don't want to do that. That's fine.
That's where we differ.
Yeah. I want the game to provide me all the tools that I need to do it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to have to bring supplemental tools. And I think it's not great when a game requires me to look something up or keep notes. You know what I mean? Like, and I get it. Some people are like, no, that's great. And I love it. Okay.
But again, yeah.
Maybe I'm just a meathead.
Can't stress enough that the actual concepts, like when I realized that the reason there is a time loop is because they ensured that the deep space probe could fire over and over and over in every possible direction so that one time it only needs to glimpse the eye one time. And then whoever's alive in the loop, they hope, will figure all this shit out and do the thing. And indeed you do. But like, it's got one of the more sophisticated time loop justifications. The storytelling is so sophisticated that I think it would have been overwhelming if the characters were of human complexity.
If you had to listen to them, get into their emotions.
Mass Effect, it would have been too much.
Well, you'd have to spread it out.
All the shit also going on.
You would have had to spread it out. That's the thing. You know?
And it's a small team. It's a newish team. And it impressed me in the way that, like, Psychonauts stuff impresses me with its tone, with its ability to strike bittersweet. And that's saying something, because Tim Schafer's like a living legend and has been doing this for 40 years.
And I would also add, this is one of the rare games that shows the value of a storytelling experience that's not purely interpersonal emotional. Like, almost all the games, even the ones you just mentioned, Mass Effect and Psychonauts, that do have sort of larger conceptually rewarding emotional arcs. This game has very few of those, maybe zero of those, depending on how connected you got to the Nomai. So, like, it's pure concept. Like, you're getting emotional purely about the concept, like
Jesus.
The premise.
Yeah.
Dude. You know? And that's
Alex
hard to
Beecham,
do.
Lead designer, started this in college as his thesis project.
That makes sense.
Advanced it out.
I think
to
I read
game.
That. Yeah.
That's fucking rad, though.
Good for him.
In that context, it's even more impressive. Wow.
It's a really, this is a really smart brain that had a lot of cool ideas that were tracked well and woven together well and executed well.
Innovative.
Yeah, man. Look, he deserves all these compliments because this is definitely unlike anything else. No question about it. Also, we haven't even talked about this. There's some really cool scientific pieces to this that are like, if you're interested in science, like as a subject, this game is a rewarding experience on that level too, right? Like it's
the
quantum
fake
theory and stuff.
Works fairly well.
Yeah.
The idea that, so like they gamify it and they sillify it, but it's based in fact, meaning there's quantum shards that when you look away and look back, they've changed position.
It's
you're like,
so cool.
Hey, that's an innovative, cool thing for a puzzle game and a great mechanic that they skin multiple ways for different puzzles. B, that's kind of true if you're loose with what quantum physics is, right? Or the uncertainty principle and the double slit experiment show that if you observe something, it changes. And so they're like taking Schrodinger's cat and stuff like that and sort of twisting it. It reminded me of Star Trek more than anything, where you're like, that's excitingly real science, even though it's not real, real science. Your fake science is really good. Yeah, fake science
is excellent. It's like how people got excited. Yeah, people got excited about the time dilation in Interstellar. I would say if you're that kind of person, you'll get excited about the quantum theory stuff in this game.
For sure.
Because it's explored really well and in a really fun way. But it's also not so rigidly scientific as to sap it of its own sort of unique individual spirit, captured, I would argue, even though it's a little bit lame, captured by the banjo. Like, I really think that's why the banjo is the thing you keep hearing.
It's true.
Is this sense of, this is the whimsical individual that you are going through this larger experience. That's why there's always a banjo, because it stands out from the rest of the music. You know, and I thought a lot about that. Like, why the banjo? And that's what I settled on is like, that's you. You're the banjo. And I think that's kind of cool.
No, you're the banjo. No, you be the banjo.
Together, you and I are the banjo.
If you do like this lonely, melancholy vibe and banjo music, I have to recommend again The Flame and the Flood, which I hope we'll cover someday. Yeah. That's a great game.
We've talked about that one. There are some things I missed, unfortunately, when I played it. Like I missed what actually went wrong with the sun station, because I never got there. And when I went back and read what you find out on the Interloper, I was really bummed I didn't figure that one out. Because that's where you find out how everybody died.
I actually don't know that either. I never figured that out.
I believe.
Spoil it for me, baby.
Man, see, now I'm going to summarize it wrong, I'm afraid.
Okay,
I believe
then I'll look it up
it's
after.
Where you find out where the ghost, like the ghost...
the ghost matter originates.
It comes from that.
Yeah.
Yes.
So yeah, we didn't talk about, and just really innovative puzzle solutions like, you have to get inside the jellyfish to avoid the lightning, or ghost matter as a thing, right? The scout launcher as a thing.
Right.
They endlessly thought of really good things to do with their engine. You're like, that is smart. The Hourglass Twins... maybe annoying to navigate,
but
as
so
an
cool,
idea,
though. Yeah, they're really
you're
cool.
Like, let's make two planets, and the sand shifts from one planet. You're like, this is so cool. And the Giants Deep, they're like, it's gas, then liquid, then the core. And you're like, that's a great idea. Dark Bramble, great idea. Each planet is incredibly innovative, and what a great idea.
And they all have a cool dynamic thing that you have to learn how to navigate. And they're all really exciting. It does create some levels of tedium if you don't snap it up immediately. And I just think people need to be prepared for that because...
It took me 30 hours, yeah.
Yeah, and that's too long. I think this game should have been honestly half that length. You said two-thirds. I think
20.
Half.
I'd go 20.
I'd say, between 15 and 20 would have been great.
And then there's hardcore puzzle heads who will say, no, it is perfect.
And good,
and
good.
And
good.
Fair reaction.
Congratulations.
Fine,
you got the exact experience that...
I think 12-year-olds should be assigned this game as homework. It is
honestly,
it makes your brain grow.
It would be an awesome homework assignment. I totally agree. Yeah. You'd learn a lot of cool concepts about space and stuff. The problem is that it's so intricate that you have to learn a lot of things that are not anything.
You just hear your kid crying from the
it's
other
like,
room.
I can't get
what
the
fuck? is this shit?
I can't get into the space station outside Dark Bramble. I can't do it.
I can't do it, Dave.
Like, you just haven't thought enough about quantum theory, sweetheart.
You gotta think in portals, bro. Yeah, you're not exactly thinking the right way.
I can't get to the escape pod.
I guess you're dumb, son.
Guess somebody's a sea astronaut, aren't they? Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Anyway, I think we're probably about time to take a little astral break here, and then when we come back together, restart the loop, we'll hit the celestial hard drive. What do you think, buddy?
That's right. The future is always built on the past, even if we don't get to see it. So we'll see you after the break. Or not.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Shout out to anyone who died during the course of that ad break and parted from us forever.
Shout out to them. That's right.
But
they're in
that
our hearts.
Was before the break. I ended with one of my favorite quotes from the game. I think the game also had some real wisdom and insight in it.
It did.
Smell the pine trees along the way. Dumb but true.
Well,
dumb
so,
but true.
Can we talk?
Like me?
Can we do you and me, friend? Can we talk for like I don't know 2 minutes about other than like. Those realizations we talked about, did you find a deeper meaning here? Like, do you think this game had anything sagacious to say about life?
I think that was enough. The stuff
that
we discussed.
Yeah, yeah,
you
I
don't
agree.
Think that was.
I
yeah.
agree. I'm just. But we do end up spending that extended sequence at the end, which I think was supposed to be the moral of the story. And that's where I'm like, okay, did any of that land?
I don't think it was the moral of the story. I think it was a victory lap. And I, in that way, I compare it very much to. Forgotten City. I call those endings victory laps more than conclusive beats. And by that, I mean Forgotten City is the closest analog because they both end in a museum where you go through and look at, like, when you reappeared in the museum at the end of Outer Wilds the second time, did you look at all the
I did.
Plaques?
I did, yeah.
Okay, okay. So you noticed that they've changed and now they're almost Fallout-esque, like, 20 years later, this happened to this character.
Yes,
this character's destiny was this. And in Forgotten City, I actually thought Forgotten City iterated on this in a more satisfying way. You actually have full dialogue trees where you talk to the person and the person's like, here's what happened to me. Hey, do you have any questions? And you can do a whole dialogue, which was endlessly cathartic. So I would describe the sequence of the storytelling here as... Hey man, like, isn't it crazy how blank and blank and blank? Yes, that is crazy. Well, that's all I really got for you. Peace and love, man. Which is fine. That's a legitimate...
I think it's actually better.
That's a full experience for a video game. So I do think it raises the question of the heat death of the universe and then just says, you know, that. And like at the end it implies... Maybe it's on a loop or something, you know, but it's nothing edgy. No, there's no like big statement. But what is interesting is I think they try to just gussy it up or zhuzh it up a little in that victory lap phase by just having all of the Outer Wilds Ventures people say something wise. Like I said, my favorite too, stop and smell the pine trees, and the future is always built on the past, even if we don't get to see it. That's all. Like some little placemat, you know, fortune cookie wisdom. That's all you get.
So this is why I always go back to The Last of Us as how do you do an ending?
Yeah.
Because I think in both games, they really did that right. By only giving us one thing to think about. Like, they basically decided this is the thing to think about the game and gave you the final scene that's that. And I just say this not as a lecture to these guys, because obviously they've made something great here, but you and I are storytellers, and it's something I want to remember for myself. It's like, okay, so don't get so obsessed with, like, it, like remembering the cool time you had. Instead, stick the landing. Like, stick the landing and do the one narrative thing that mattered here, because people will remember the game more fondly if you do that.
Hit the gong the hardest you've ever hit it, and let that note ring. Walk away.
I mean, and I know I know you said it once, but the Eye of the Universe was a very, it was a heart lifting thing in a video game. Honestly, it really was. It, like, that whole experience was like, it lifted you up a little bit. It made you hopeful about a thing where there is no hope. You know, like the heat death of the universe, if it's a fact, as science concludes that it is, you know, without any other sort of extraneous data, it's a hopeless thing. And this game managed to make it hopeful, and I liked that. And I know some people got upset about it, but like,
trite but true way of, well, at least we got to experience anything, and here we are together for a moment. Right. And it's like, yeah, if that's all the hope you get, I'll take it. Yeah, for sure.
You know, I mean, I find there to be a certain romantic existentialism about that.
Yeah, for sure.
I find existentialism to be slightly romantic.
It compares well to No Country for Old Men, because it's basically a long campfire metaphor. I thought it was very important that one, and meaningful, not just flash, that one of the final experiences you have is you assume you're in a starfield and you slowly float forward and you realize it's a bunch of lights in the woods. And if you don't understand what I'm saying, watch No Country for Old Men again, and the last monologue about my father lighting a campfire.
Yeah, it's so good.
Ahead of me in the dark. I think that's, they're playing on the same kind of symbolism here.
Yes, but just with another round of mist-like puzzles. That's like, nah, man.
Why did there have to be more puzzles? Anyway, it just shouldn't have been more puzzles. Puzzles all the way down.
I've wasted too much on that. I think I am ready to pass the final checkpoint. Are you?
Okay. I'm scrolling through. That's the sound of me scrolling through my notes, panicking, being like, is there any huge like thing that would benefit my listeners in a great way that I skipped? No, I just take too many notes.
I love all your notes.
Over the 10,000 years that have elapsed, someone should tidy up all these Nomai corpses. There's goddamn corpses everywhere.
Yes, but you get the impression that literally no one's been anywhere but that little tiny planet.
Right. Yeah.
Like, well, it's like, man, how are they even, like, how many kids are they allowed to have on this planet?
Well, how do they sustain themselves as a civilization?
No,
don't
fucking
get
way.
Started. Yeah. No,
yeah,
way.
No way. It's weird
yeah,
like
let's
that.
Let's pass that checkpoint.
Okay, great.
All right, so the sand has shifted every which way, and it's keep or delete time, where we decide ultimately if the game deserves to be on our list of the 100 games that we will deliver up to whoever tells us our ranking after the heat death of the universe. Like, are we going to be S tier as a civilization? Are we going to be B tier? this drive will determine that.
Does this game get shot through the black hole and come out the white hole into the hands of the aliens?
Hey, you know, I have a sci-fi short story about that too. Check them out. Sad and important and no sad.
All right. You and your plugs today. All right. Mike, where do you land on this?
I don't know if it... I thought this would be surprising because of my opening salvo about how the physics are actually frustrating. But I think if you've caught on to the timbre of my overall argument, and if you paid attention, and I'm trying to be a little more consistent these days, I recently argued on this podcast that a game doesn't have to succeed in every single dimension to succeed hard enough in enough dimensions to make the drive. So even though I find the puzzles obtuse to a point of frustration, and the traversal also drove me to frustration, I'm going to keep this and put it on the drive. I really think it deserves to, because it succeeds so hard in departments that are harder to succeed in, like saying something that feels resonant, haunted me for a long time to come, spurred other thoughts that branched off from the initial thought, made for good conversation, made me feel emotionally invested moment to moment, are included, you know, innovative designs for puzzles that I've never encountered before. Like, I just think it also highlights how fucking hard it is to design a puzzle.
Puzzles
in 3D space might be one of, and it makes Breath of the Wild all the more. Like Breath of the Wild, it may be our number one, at least for now on this pod. And I think the fact that they have satisfying puzzles that are hard but not too hard that take place in 3D space that are genuinely satisfying when you go, oh, that's how it works. I got to move the ball over there and shoot the bomb there. That's so fucking hard. And it's so fucking hard here. And that was Nintendo. And this is a team that's innovating real puzzles. And yes, some of them struck me as I was like, that puzzle was slightly too hard. Fuck that. That's so subjective and such a moving target from person to person. It succeeds in enough dimensions that it stays on the drive. So yes.
Okay. Keep. That's fair. That's fair. Mike.
By contrast, here comes Unfair.
I know. Yeah. I'm going to delete this game.
It's got to move on like the no money themselves. Hey, everything can't last forever.
I'll tell you why. And I know people are going to be upset. Please don't at me about this, okay? Just, I get it that you loved it. I get it.
Get them balls.
For me, no, I don't want to hear about it. So for me, I found the moment to moment game piece of it frustrating enough that it keeps it from the drive for me. It really is that simple. I felt like by the time like 15 hours in, I'm still having dumb deaths and stuff, and like still miscalculating leaps and still struggling to keep control of it, and also finding puzzles that are, you know, legitimately really obtuse. It's like, yeah, I like the ideas here, much like I like the ideas in a Fallout, but the game still has to be fun enough that it's not tripping me up. And this game didn't quite clear that for me. Not to be one of the greatest games of all time. Is it an excellent game? Yeah, I think it is. But to be one of the greatest games of all time, not quite. That said, it's a triumph, and I can't wait to see what the next game this team does. I think they deserve to be watched, and they deserve all the credit and money in the world, and I hope they get both those things. I have said, and I stand by it, yes, lopsided games deserve to be on here when they do something so excellently, and this game does do stuff so excellently. But the gameplay isn't average. It's a little below average. And that frustrated me enough that I just don't think it should go.
It seems like game feel is a more highly weighted category for you than it is for me generally. Because I'm also
probably
into Fallout than you. And I'm more into games where I'm like, oh, I don't care. The promise of the story was enough for me to overlook that. A little more than you'll overlook that.
It depends.
A textbook Swaim decision and a textbook Ganser decision, I'd say, at the end of the day.
I do think I fairly captured the best moments of this game, and they are very, very good. For me, I also want more of an interpersonal, emotional experience, ideally, out of my story. You know, like, that's just a preference I have, and like, I want that. That's what I'm always looking for.
I would also just specifically show this to aliens, because it feels, that is something that sometimes comes into my thinking, is like,
what are the aliens going to think of it?
No, what it fucks with, like, story-wise, is enough. If, I guess what I'm saying is, if you're going to be a cerebral noble, sophisticated like story, or even try to be, I'll overlook a lot of the game feel stuff, because I'm like, well, you're trying to elevate the medium and you need support if you're doing
that.
You
have something powerful to say. And I agree. Yeah, I agree. And they did. And I do think that's important. Nonetheless, I those two or three failings are a love. Yeah, I'm sorry. I really, really labored about this. Mike can tell you, like, I was really debating about it. For really the last couple months, you know, I'm like, man, what am I going to say? I don't know. But I think that's where I landed. That said,
and
if you haven't played this game,
landing, as
they all are. If you haven't played this game, I can't recommend it strongly enough.
But if you haven't played it and you're listening to this part of the podcast, you fucked up. But you should still play it.
You still like it. I really think you will. Yeah. Well, Mike, anything else before we we cease this loop and start another?
Just a nitpick for people who have played the game or love it fondly.
Great.
How did Solanum, which I believe is the name of the Nomai ghost you encounter on the Quantum Moon, and you know how you...
Isn't he still alive? Is he a ghost or was he still alive?
Yeah, you find his bones. He teleports you to another area and you're right by his bones.
That's right.
I interpreted that.
Okay.
But also, in preparing for the podcast, I looked up the synopsis and he's dead. But
okay, fair enough.
You interact with him using a set of stones, and one of the first things he says is, "Who are you? Where'd you come from? How did you get here?" But he has a stone with a portrait of you on it so that you can reference yourself in conversation. How the fuck did that happen? That defies even the time loop. Like, that doesn't... Anyway.
You know, nitpick. There's mysteries in the Nomai we never learn, unfortunately. Yeah.
One letter off from Nomad. Get it?
I did. I did get
fuck
that.
Fuck this game, dude. Delete this shit. No, I loved it. I guess we're out, right?
Farewell.
You wanna plug the pluggables, or did I already plug enough?
I think you've done so much of that, sir.
I even mentioned Small Beans. Okay.
You really did. I feel like it's time to pluck out the banjo and play us off, sir.
Ba-da-ding, ding, 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 ding.
Work complete.
Fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.